Well, this is Anders Petersen, the current pastoral intern of the village. Summer 2012, celebrating 50 years of ministry at Holden Village. And I'm here with...
Neda Lundring Ronning.
Okay. And how is Holden a part of your life? Are you a long timer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I start from the beginning?
Let's start at the beginning. I want to hear it all. Yeah.
Well, I came up to Holden in November 1969 for the first time.
Whoa.
So I'm before David Christian.
That's a feat.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding because I love David. I'm kidding.
How old were you at that time?
28. First of all, I came to Holden because I had spent a year in Ethiopia as a volunteer for the Lutheran Church and the Ethiopian Lutheran Church, which is called the Makane Yesus Church, which isn't important. But I'd been there for a year.
Well, that was and super significant in 68, traveling across to Africa.
I traveled all by myself, halfway around the world. Whoa. By myself. I spent a year there and then came around the rest of the world. For the next month. So I was gone for a little over a year, but I came home and at 28 had to live with my parents again.
Right. Yeah.
After college, after having a career and then going as a volunteer, I didn't have any money left. So
yeah.
It was kind of like the Lutheran Peace Corps.
Yeah.
My sister, who had been up here the summer of 68 as a 3-week volunteer, said, "You need to go to Holden Village," because I was quite depressed. I didn't have a plan. I had no money. I had to live with my parents. It was very difficult. I was down. And I'd had this year of life-changing, you know, in
stuff.
One way.
Yeah,
of all kinds of stuff. So she said, you need to go up to Holden Village. And I said, "What is that? Where is that?" And she said, "Well, I wrote and told you about it when you were in Ethiopia." And I said, "Well, it doesn't ring a bell." So she told me how to get in touch up here. So I sent a letter saying I was Neda Lundring and I wanted to come up to Holden in November. So they said, "Come up." So I came up.
Did you know what you were going to do at that time or anything?
No, I had no plans.
So you just come up and...
Yeah, I was
to
gonna
this random place
for
the
a week.
Cascades.
I was just coming up for a week. Yeah.
Oh, a week.
A week. Yeah, just a week. To just, she thought it would help me, and you know we both know how much it changed my whole life. I mean, you know, it changed my life. But because I was depressed, I didn't have a plan. I was broke. And I had this little job, you know, but it wasn't enough to make enough money to get an apartment and all that.
Yeah.
So I drove up here from Southern California, Pasadena, California. And I don't remember how I got to Chelan. I have no idea. I don't remember those details. I remember getting on the boat and getting an apple for a quarter and coming up here.
Was it called the Lady of the Lake?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, yes. But that boat is no longer,
right.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because a little kid slipped through it one summer and the dad jumped in the lake and rescued his son. And it was traumatic. So they... You know, it wasn't a safe enough boat for children. Anyway, so I got to Lucerne, and here was this truck and this guy standing there, Terry Saturn, who is the epitome. He did the Dancing of the Servant. The Dancing Servant in front of the lectern in the VC.
Yeah.
And he picked me up and... drove me halfway up the mountain. And then we got off and got into this. And I sat right there. He was driving it up. And I, before we got in, I said, "What is that?" And he said, this is how we have to get the rest of the way up the mountain. I didn't know I was coming up to snow. I didn't know anything. You know, I had
What time of year is this?
November.
Wow.
So we got up to the snow, and
of course, this is the Blue Bombardier.
Yes,
okay.
The Blue Bombardier, yes. And so we got up here, and it took a long time to get up here. And we went up to the VC and walked in, and there were 13 people in there, and they were all staff. Well, 13 people, including two little children, and that was the staff for the winter. And so they welcomed me, and they couldn't believe that I was this Nada Lundring, because they were expecting an 80-year-old Norwegian woman.
Oh, my goodness.
With my name. That's what I've heard. You know? It took them a couple of days to tell me that, but, you know, anyway, that was pretty funny.
That's great.
So we made Swedish sausage, you know, stuffed the skins, which I'd never, ever done in my life. I made a rag rug on the loom, which I'd never done before. And I just fell in love with this place. And I stayed a second week. And I just sent a letter home saying, I'm staying another week. You know, I'll see you by Christmas or whatever. And my good friend Karen Strom was registrar then. And she had been here for a little bit less than a year. But she said, I think you should come up here next summer and work on staff. And I said, well, what would I do? And she said, well, you did parish work. You know, you did secretarial work. You could be the secretary for the director. And I said, that sounds like an important job. And I said, I don't think I can do that. But I applied and put my resume in and all that stuff. And so they accepted me. So I came up here on May 1st to October 15th. And I was here all summer. And I was Carol Hinderly's secretary.
Wow.
The first Carol Hinderly, not Carol Lund Hinderly, but Carol Luther Hinderly.
Really?
Her father-in-law. Yes.
Can you tell us what that was like?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
This is the big story.
Okay.
It was really interesting working for him, because he would dictate into a dictaphone at like 2 o'clock in the morning, after he was always in the sauna after Vespers and after the volleyball games. We played volleyball down there next to Narnia. And then after the sauna, he would go into his office and dictate letters. And so the first time I came in, I would press on the forward, and then I'd back it up, and I'd press it forward, because he talked a lot, and he just kind of talked, and you didn't know when a sentence ended or when it began. He just kept on talking. And I would... I typed this letter, and I left blank spaces, and he wasn't around then, so I couldn't go in and say, Carol, I don't understand this part. So I took it downstairs to my friend Karen Strom. Registration was downstairs then, where the bookstore is now. And I said, can you come upstairs and help me figure this out? And she came up and listened to it and couldn't. So I put a note at the top of this draft letter, and said, Carol, please edit, fill in the blank spaces, and I'll retype it and send it. And I came in the next day, and I said, Carol, where is the letter that I asked you to correct? And he said, oh, I just filled in the blanks and mailed it. And I've told this story many times to many people, and, you know, everybody has said, who was it to? And I have no idea. So if you hear of anybody...
Oh, we got to find the letter.
Yeah, we got to find who the letter was to.
Oh,
I mean, it probably was to a board member, and it didn't make any difference, or to somebody that Carol knew well, hopefully.
Oh, you wonder, receiving the letter oh, boy.
Yeah, just... Oh, and then my initials, you know, then you made sure you put your initials in there after CLH, I put NL.
Nice.
So, but anyway.
Oh.
But that summer at Holden, 1970, was life-changing for me. It really, I grew up only hearing one side of politics, of church, of Lutheranism, of, you know, I'm a baptized Lutheran. And so I grew up... hearing only one side and not hearing all sides. And I heard all sides up here. We would have debates in Koinonia around the smoky fireplace. We had fires then in the black tube, you know, or vent. And we would talk and talk and talk, and these philosophers and ethic professors, and we'd go on and on and on for hours discussing and arguing, and both sides, I mean, liberal, conservative, moderate, everybody expressed their opinion. And then everybody hugged in the end. It was so open, and it was just great to hear other views of life.
Right. What would be something like they would sit and chat about and debate about,
too. Yeah, it was debate. It wasn't chat. It was debate. It was debate. Yes, it was debate.
Wow.
Well, theology, politics, you name it. I mean, the Vietnam War, you know, everything. I mean, it was just the pros and cons of life topics. And at this point, you know, I don't remember exactly what the topics were, but they covered everything. I mean, whatever was going on in 1970. So anyway, that was a life-changing time for me. And then went home and I got married to Nelius Ronning, who was, we were Luther League friends together, but reconnected when I came back from Ethiopia and married. And then the summer of 71. And then I came up with my pastor. And our youth, the summer of 71 was youth group. There were lots of youth groups. And then they would do Vespers. And they met separately and didn't really participate totally with the holding community. And it was a very negative experience for me. It was just because I had to participate. Well, Holden, because they had all these youth groups that met separately. And it wasn't a whole community. It was all these separate little communities. And they would do things separately. And it was just much more intentional. We're here. And they had their own little, we had their own little program and everything. And I was kind of a sponsor for the right. church group. But then, that was a really negative experience for me. And coming back as that, category, you know, as a guest with a youth group where I had been really involved the summer before was hard because I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. And that was a real hard thing for me. But anyway, then we came back in 1975. We had a 1.5-year-old and that was really hard.
And then, to be here then?
Yes. Well, with a 1.5-year-old. Yeah, it's hard. Because, I mean, there was Narnia, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of other options. It's just hard for a child that young. For me, it was. And then we had another child in 76, and we didn't come back to Holden until 1980. So we had about a 6-year span where we didn't come up here. And we came up when they were like 5 and 7, and we haven't missed a summer since.
Really?
Right. It's just... When we'd say to our girls, well, we're going to go to Alaska this year, they said, we're not going to Holden Village. And we said, well, we can't do both. And they said, I don't want to go to Alaska. They just wanted to come here.
Just come to Holden.
Yeah. Wow. So we came here for about 5 days that summer and went on to Alaska.
We did.
Yeah, we did. So my girls grew up here, Desta and Rachel, and this was their youth group because our church was really small. So the youth group were the kids up here.
Yeah.
And they always reconnected with someone from previous years. And they just started off and they just take off and have just a ball. And then when they got into college, they each came up one summer. One was the minors leader. And they had been minors, so they knew all about that. And she was kind of a youth person anyway, Desta. And so she was the minors leader for her before her senior year of college. And then my other daughter, Rachel, was in charge of Narnia for a summer during college. So they asked if they could come up here because they knew they wouldn't get paid. And we said, if you want to go to Holden for a summer, go. Because we figured this was better than any paid job, because their friends all had to get paid jobs
right.
to help pay for their education.
Sure.
And, you know, they're still paying off their college loans.
Sure.
And we are too, but it was worth it because Holden gave them so many gifts, so many gifts. And so in one summer when we were up here, Dan Spencer was here, a gay man. And he was telling his story, and I asked him if he could talk to the teens, because then my girls were junior high and high school. And he said that he would ask if that was okay. And so he did talk to them in a healthy, loving, wonderful, mature way for them to understand. And it changed, you know, it helped them grow into accepting gays as normal human beings.
Sure.
And so that's one ethical issue that we're grateful to Holden for. But they've, you know, Holden has given us so many other gifts. And then we've been, Desta was on the board as the youth rep when Janet Grant was director here. She observed Desta with the kids and she said, you know, and then it was all older people pretty much on the board, older than Desta anyway. There wasn't a youth person on. And she said, I think we need to get you on the board so we have a youth rep. And she said, Holden has a board? She was on the Cal Lutheran University board as vice president, but she didn't think Holden had a board. So she was on the board for about 8 years and just contributed a lot and learned a lot. And that was a great experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is neat. So is there a particular place in the village, like a physical space that has a significant memory to you? Like a place that you like to spend time or... your favorite place in the village?
I guess it would have to be in the village. 10 Mile Falls would be, yeah, right, would be probably top. But I like to walk around the village loop.
Sure.
You know, you're in the village, but you're out of the village.
Yeah.
And just the road, you know, beyond the chalets. So I like that. And I like the, you know, the Twilta Hall. That's fun to just observe people. So, yeah.
And when you go home, do you talk about Holden?
Oh, never.
Never.
Why would I talk about Holden Village at home?
What do you tell people?
I tell them my story, just like I've told you.
Yeah.
And people have come and people haven't, and I'm still working on people. But, you know...
It does take that leap to come up here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. And if you don't have a lot of vacation... If you have 2 weeks vacation, like my son-in-law does, I mean, it would take his whole vacation. And he has, his family's in Chicago, and he lives in California, so he needs to see his family. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it takes a lot of time to get up here. So, but he's been up here a couple times.
Yeah. So over the last, you know, over the decades, what's something that you've seen that's changed quite a bit in the village, and what's something that's really stayed the same?
It changes with every director.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new directors, I believe, are chosen because they want to do something a little different from the previous directors. Not everyone, but some directors have come because there have been problems or a situation that needed counseling or that needed a new direction or needed more Jesus-centered or, you know, so that those are some of the changes. The thing that has stayed the same is the hilarity, worship every night, the ice cream shop. I mean, just, but what I always told my girls was, don't expect everything to be the same when we come back to Holden Village.
Right. Yeah, right.
And they'd say, but so-and-so will be there. And I said, she might not be here. She might have been here last week or later in the summer. And so we always come to Holden expecting something different. Mm-hmm. And these orange, you know, they're beautiful because they're going to change Holden for the better.
Right. The orange fencing.
The orange fencing, yeah. Yes, yeah. It's pretty awful looking, but it doesn't bother me because we've waited so many years for this moment in history. This is a big, big change in our history for the better.
So any stories or anything that you haven't had a chance to tell that you want to make sure get recorded? You feel like you've...
I think I've told them all. Okay. I mean, I haven't told them all, but I've told as many as I can.
And
oh, I didn't tell about Generation to Generation.
What's here?
Oh, Janet and Diane, Janet Grant and Diane Shiner were directors here, and she called me up from Minneapolis and asked me if I would be on a fundraising committee for Holden, and I said, I don't do fundraising. And she said, well, I'm going into a board meeting in 15 minutes, and I need you to say yes. So what can I do to tell you to say yes? And I said, I mean, I had met her a couple of times. You know, she didn't know me well, but she knew. She said, you're enthusiastic, you love Holton Village, and you can tell your story. And the theme of the fundraising was from generation to generation. My dad has been here. I've been here. My girls have been here. My grandkids have now been here, and they're coming next week, three of them. But it's just so anyway, I said, okay, but I'll need help.
Yeah.
And so that committee that I was on, those friends have been lifelong friends. We get together every summer for a weekend, and, you know, basically the committee.
Yeah.
And they're my best friends.
Wow.
Yeah. So that those 8 years or 6 years or whatever it was on that committee. And then we had to present to the board. So I got to know the board members, and it's just a great, great place.
That's a great story. And then you almost said no.
I did say no. Yeah. I said, no, Diane, no, I don't do that. I don't ask people for money.
Yeah.
And she says, you don't have to ask people for money. You just need to tell your story. And I said, I don't think so. She said, from generation to generation, you have your story, and you're enthusiastic. You can just tell it, and then I'll tell the money part.
Oh, good. Yeah, right. You do your part. So the sign in the bus on our way up and our way down reads, the ride up is free, the ride down is costly.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean to you?
The ride up is free, the ride down is costly. Nothing to do with the bus falling over. I think the costly thing, the ride up is free. We're coming up to contribute and to volunteer and to receive. And when we go back down the mountain, mm-hmm. with tears, always, I never leave here without tears. just telling the story to try to get more people to come up here, mm. and to share what I've learned from this experience. I mean, we're going to be here 2 weeks this year, and every session is different. Every music program is different. Every Vespers is different. Everything is always different, but the same, because it focuses on God and God's love for each of us, no matter who we are or what we think or believe. So.
Amen. Let's leave it there. I think that's great.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.